The following program was paid for by Templar Real Estate. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision. It's time now for the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. Here's your host for the program, Joseph J. Zoppi.
Hi, this is Joseph J. Zoppi, and welcome to the Templar Real Estate Investment Show. I'm a real estate investor, consumer advocate, author, and managing partner of Templar Real Estate Enterprises. You can reach us at TemplarCashForHouses.com or call us at 973-315-7990. And we can answer any questions you may have, or you can email us from our website. And we discuss any type of topics you want for this show. My company is a real estate investment firm. We buy houses for cash. We purchase apartment buildings. We do joint ventures with other real estate investors. We loan money for rehabs and provide transactional or gap funding. We work with individuals that want to invest with us in single-family houses all the way up to apartment buildings. We do not speculate, and we're very protective of our money and our investors' money. I am not a real estate agent. There's another individual out there that has the same name as me, but is an agent. I'm not. I have individuals on staff that are agents that will sell your house through the traditional multiple listing service, but we're not a brokerage. This show will go over everything that there is about real estate, those things that impact real estate. We will talk about our rehabs, some of the issues we've had, some of the things we've learned from them. We'll talk about the economy, interest rates. We'll discuss trends in real estate market. Real estate's your one of your biggest investments, so it's kind of important that you understand as much as possible. I'm going to provide you my opinion. It's only my opinion. I ask everyone to do their research on everything that we talk about, that your attorneys talk about, your CPA, or anything else. I always, always recommend you double, triple check everything, because you get different opinions, and it's always good to see the other side when you're looking at anything. So someone might have one opinion, the other one might have something else, and then you could balance it out, and then you make the decision, because ultimately it's your money that you're going to be managing. Also, we're going to have a special event on Sunday, March 22nd, at 12 noon at the Marriott Courtyard in Parsippany. It's on Route 46 East in Parsippany, right near the TGI Fridays. It's limited seating, so you have to sign up for it. So either you could call us, or you could go to our webpage for this event. It's called investwithtemplar.com. Again, that's investwithtemplar.com, and it'll just ask for your name, phone number, and email address, and we'll reserve a spot for you. And what we're going to do is we're going to go over why real estate's a great investment, how to get consistent returns, how to partner with us in real estate, how you can move some of your IRA into real estate, your 401k, how to unlock equity in your house as well. So one of the examples I have for if you were in the market since the last downturn and you doubled your investment since that time, a correction of 30%, you'll have knocked out close to 60% of your profit. So that's a powerful statement. And as we see right now, this past week, we've had a reduction of close to 10%, which is correction, in the stock market. Now, my opinion is it's not going to continually go down. I think there's still strong fundamentals for the market. But who knows when the next downturn is going to be. Right now, like I said, we're at a little over below 10% of a market correction right now. I expect it to pop up. I know those stock market really well because I used to invest a lot of money into it. I used to trade derivatives, all types of options, stocks. We used to short. We used to do it all. And I have a lot of experience in the stock market. And I always did well, but it was very, very stressful. And I needed to go to something just a little less stressful. And that was, even though real estate could be stressful at times, it's nothing like the stock market. And when you start seeing, you know, a decrease of 5, 10, 15%, you know, there's always that question, well, should I take my money out now or should I jump in and put more money into it? So you really, nobody ever really knows. I was listening to someone, I think on Bloomberg today, and the person was saying that everybody was asking her, you know, should I put more money in or should I take it out? And she says, I have no idea. I have no idea what you should do. And that's the thing, because you don't know if this coronavirus could, you know, just affect more things in terms of production of factory production, the closing down of more countries. And obviously that's going to put a lot of burden on the global economy. Unfortunately, you know, we're not segmented where everything is in America. You know, we're in a global economy. You know, we get a lot out of China. And as a result of that, you know, the impacts of this virus, is going to affect us. Now, it depends if it turns around and we start seeing a decrease in those cases or just starts to stabilize and they see some light at the end of the tunnel, but nobody really knows. So when I was a trader, you know, we'd, you know, be looking at the markets and we would look at it really from a what's called a technical trading perspective. So there's two types of trading. There's fundamentals. And there's technical. Fundamentals is you want to buy Procter & Gamble because you see that there's going to be growth in the stock. They have some new products out. The liabilities are low and the stock's going to go up. So that's a basic fundamental trade. Now a technical trade is that it's based on where the price is of a particular stock, index, derivative, whatever the case may be. And you buy and sell based on that. And when it hits a certain level, either high or low, you could make a decision. You could say, well, it's going to move up because of this, or it's going to move down because of this. The 10% mark for the market is that level. So if it breaks below it, which it has, and it stays below it, then it's going to go further down. A lot of times what happens is when it hits these levels, it bounces back up and it bounces off of it. And that's usually a good trade. And if I was trading right now in the market, I'd probably do it right now, even though, you know, we've been hit with 3%, 3%, 3%, you know, losses on the Dow the past few days. But instead of worrying about that all the time, that's why one of the reasons why I like real estate, because even in bad times, you know, stock, you know, the real estate still does well. You know, we might get hit a little bit, but you know, we're doing a lot of investments in apartment buildings, and there's always individuals that need apartments. It's just that simple. Another thing that I'd like to talk about is another event we're having on April 17th. Now, this is for real estate agents and brokers. It's a lunch and learn, and so is the other one for the one that we were going to have on the 22nd of March. So this one's on April 17th. Again, it's at the Marriott Courtyard in Parsippany. And it's basically for agents, brokers, how to increase their commissions, do profit sharing, how to earn profits from flips that we're doing. This is really designed for real estate agents that want to go to the next step and they want to hustle. If you just want to take a back seat, this is not the approach that would be, you know, beneficial for anyone. A couple of other things. Right now we have a program for individuals that want to sell their house, but because they can't afford it, and that's mostly towards the elderly, you know, 80 and above, and they want to stay in their house, but they can't afford it. And depending on the situation, we will buy back the house, and then they could live there until they pass on. So it's a new program that we're developing. It's got certain restrictions, but it's on a case-by-case basis, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback on that. The other thing is that in terms of hoarder houses, so again, if you have a hoarder's house, doesn't matter how bad it is, please give us a call. You know, one of your family members, so on and so forth, it doesn't really matter. We'll take a look at it. We're not judgmental, so you never have to worry about that. You know, there's always reasons why it occurs. Most of the time it's because of a loss, and there's like a mechanism, I guess, within the person to like compensate, you know, for that loss. And so we've seen that a lot. So we're very, very open to that. Again, we won't judge you or anybody in your family because of that. Couple other things. You know, sometimes some of our experiences, so I had a individual call us up, and she was an agent, or she said she was an agent. So I'm going to qualify that, because what she said, she just, I don't know, kind of set me back a little bit. So she said her father had a house, and they gutted the whole thing. They took the drywall down, everything. It was down to the studs. And they had it for a couple of years, and then I guess someone went in there and was vacant. Someone went in there and pulled out all the copper and everything else, stole all that. So now she's trying to sell it, and it's on a main road. So I asked her, you know, she says, well, I think it would be good for someone, you know, maybe like yourself, you know, you might be able to make some money on it. So I'm thinking to myself, might make some money on it. So, you know, I'm not going to go to one of my investors and say, you're going to give me some money and you might make some money. So I was taken back by that. I didn't really say anything to her. I just was shaking my head. And then she said, well, you could get, I forget what the number was. It was like $650,000. I did all the comps and everything. So I said, okay, you know, and I knew what road it was on. It was a main road. I was questioning it, but I was like, well, maybe. So we went to see it, and we took a look at it, and I said, basically, you know, where'd you get these numbers from? You know, you said 650 and 6 1/4. I says, it wasn't on this road, was it? And she said, no, it was on the side roads. And I says, well, when you comp a house, and you would think that as an agent, she would know this. So when you comp a house, you have to do it based on the same type of characteristics, same neighborhood, so on and so forth. So on a main road, you're going to have to discount it because someone's not going to pay the same price as a more quiet road that's, you know, more park-like setting. That's just the way it is. You know, people aren't going to do it, and when you comp a house and when the house sells, it's not going to sell for the same price. So when agents say this to me, I go crazy, because it's just not the way it is. And not all agents are like that. You know, there's a lot of really, really good agents out there. But some of them, I'm just not quite sure where they got this stuff from or how they're thinking about it. So a couple other things. We're just in the process of purchasing another house. I'm not going to give you the town, but, we had done a rehab there, and it went really well. And we worked very closely with the town officials for it. So we had another one, and there were some restrictions. You know, we had to get a temporary CO because there were some problems outside with the driveway. They wouldn't give us a regular CO, which is standard. And, you know, they wanted a lot of documentation as a result of it, you know. And I called up and I spoke to the head supervisor there. And, you know, I gave him my name. He said, oh, I remember you from last year. And, you know, he rattled off the house and everything. And I explained the situation. And he said to me, Joe, he says, you know, you did great work last time. You worked with us. So, you know, that little thing that's needed, he says, because it's just, it was really nothing, but it was just some work that we were going to have to do to get it, and we needed to close quick. He says, don't worry about it. I'm just going to put this in the file, and I know you're going to do the work. So relationships are very important, even with the township. He even said, you know, if he did a lousy job and he bust our jobs, we were going to bust him back. But the issue with that is that that township, you know, I loved working with them, but there's a lot of other townships that do not care about any of that. They just want everything to the letter of the law, and even there some. And that's the issue, is that some of them just relish in finding issues and not working with you instead of working with you. And we as rehabbers and investors are trying to obviously make the community better. So when we buy these houses, a lot of times they're problem houses for the neighborhood. So I have a house that's right now in, it's a townhome. It's in Hackettstown. And we're doing a rehab. I walked out. I was checking on it, see how it was going. And I walked out and there was a woman walking her dog and says, oh, you're almost done with it. And I says, yeah, we got a little bit longer. She says, you know, thank you very much for buying it. And I says, well, what happened? And she says, you know, the daughter lived there and the, you know, her boyfriend was banging on the doors every night and there was drugs and there was yelling and cops were coming all the time. She says, and, you know, we couldn't do much, you know. And, you know, they had to live with that for years. And I knew some of that based on what the owner told me, but I wasn't going to, I just played naive because it the privacy is very important to us. But I always hear it from the neighbors. And, you know, like I said, you know, when we talk to an owner and they sell to us, you know, we're very private in terms of their situation and what occurred there and the issues. But we always get a lot from the neighbors in terms of all the turmoil that happens. So, you know, it's just something that we always have. I'm going to go over a couple other things. One of them is you might have read about, and I'll cover probably some more of it next week, about wiring money. So there's been a lot of wire frauds going on lately. So one of them was, well, before that, when I deal with my attorney and my title companies, they always have like this disclaimer at the end of their emails. Every single email has the same disclaimer. It's basically, you're at risk of losing your money to cyber hackers. Never send wire transfers to this office or any other office based on an email wired instructions without first calling to verbally verify the wire instructions. So we do that all the time, and we've implemented a lot of procedures around this because of the nature of just wiring. If you wire something and it goes to a nefarious individual, you're not getting it back. I'll give you a guarantee on that. It's not like you might not get it back. You will not get it back. You can call the FBI, you can call anybody. You're not getting it back. There's been like two or three instances where this has occurred, and some of it's been in the news. So Barbara Corcoran, if you know her from Shark Tank, she's a very smart woman, you know, very successful woman. So she lost like $300,000 or $400,000 because of the scam. So basically someone sends an email and says, can you wire, we have to pay for something. I think it was supposedly a so-called rehab. Please wire to this account. And, you know, supposedly it came from maybe the controller or someone else. And someone reads it, and they wired the instruction. They wired it based on those wiring instructions. Find out a couple of days later, oops, it was incorrect. It was someone hacked into the account and, you know, changed the email address by like a letter or something. And that's traditionally what happens. And the money goes out and you'll never get it back. Another individual lost about $455,000. So he had a business trip and he went to China. And then again, someone sent a email and they also went into his account just to change a setting in terms of notifications. So in case he did receive an email back, he didn't receive any notification. And after it was over, he was out $455,000. Now, I personally think the trip to China might have really spurred that on, because it's just, there's a lot of things going on over there in terms of security breaches, things like that. They had breached Experian, I think, and the Trump administration had and Department of Justice filed stuff against the army, their four generals or something like that, because of that. And if you start reading a lot of what China's doing, so you have Experian, which has millions and millions of users' data. Okay. They've breached other financial institutions. There's another individual that has a company that he was collecting, and I'm not sure, for artificial intelligence, I think it was, pictures of individuals, and he had like a billion pictures. Well, they were talking about him, it was about a month and a half ago. All of a sudden, I read an article the other day. They breached his account, and somehow they scrubbed and took down almost all those pictures. So if you start looking and thinking about this, this isn't just, you know, thinking about what could be happening there. And maybe it wasn't China for that one. They were not sure. But you start putting together pictures, financial information, so on and so forth, and you start looking at this and you get a good picture of what's going on and the way things are happening. So who knows, like in the future, you know, what they could use that for, you know, from moving high net worth individuals' money out of their accounts, or you don't know. So it's pretty scary. There's certain things that could be done to help reduce some of this. So we've put certain things in place recently. We've been doing it. We're always looking at different ways of ensuring that we're very risk averse, and we're always looking at certain things to ensure that our company is very secure. But for anybody with their email address and their email account, there's a thing called two-factor authentication. So I used to be in IT, so, you know, this also is very natural to me. So between the technology, the markets, and real estate, this is just my sweet spot. So anybody could set up two-factor authentication for your email. So it's just a second way of what's called authentication. So when you put in your ID, you put in a password. That's authenticating through. That's one step of authentication. A second step of authentication is that if it's from a device that the program is not used to, it'll send an email to your phone or give you a call or something like that. And then you have to verify it again through the screen will give you a passcode, and you've probably done this maybe with your bank account, so on and so forth, where you have to put in a PIN, and then it'll validate it. And that's not every single time, but they'll do it periodically, or if it's with a device that you've never seen before. So that's one thing. Second thing is, you know, as they always say, make sure with IDs and passwords, change those passwords a lot. Use strong passwords. And those are, you know, with capitals and, you know, different special characters, as well as numbers. So, you know, mix them together. You know, one of the things you could do is you could use a phrase that you know really well and take the first letter of each word in the phrase, and that helps. And the other one is to use a VPN. So it's a virtual private network. I use it, but, you know, the drawback of it is that it kind of could slow down your system a lot sometimes. So that's the caveat. We use IPVanish. It's a reasonably priced product. It's pretty cheap, as a matter of fact. You know, you could use something like that. You know, your security is really, really important. So we're closing up on the show today. And again, you know, we have a couple of events coming up, one in March and one in April. The April one is for real estate agents and brokers, and the one in March is for anybody that would like to partner with us, invest with us in apartment buildings and some of our fix and flips. It's in. You can get to it by saying typing in investwithtemplar.com. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
When investing your money, you need to be informed and open to new strategies. For instance, there are other options besides the stock market. You can partner with Templar and passively invest in real estate. Attend their special event Sunday, March 22nd at noon at the Marriott Courtyard in Parsippany. If you have investments in the market, you see that stocks keep going up. But what happens when the market starts to correct? If your portfolio has doubled in value since the last crash, did you know a fall of 30% could erase 60% of your gains? Don't let that happen to you. Get consistent returns through real estate. Templar can show you how to invest from your 401k, IRA, or equity in your house. Forget the stock market. Attend this special event Sunday, March 22nd at noon. Learn how to partner with Templar Real Estate. Call Templar now at 973-315-7990. That's 973-315-7990. Or sign up online at investwithtemplar.com. That's investwithtemplar.com. There's limited seating, so sign up now. Templar has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. The preceding program was paid for by Templar Real Estate. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision.